Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
He'll put the first scripture on the board this morning. This morning is going to be a teaching. I love to preach, and it seems like maybe I'll get the chance this morning, the way the Spirit's been moving in here. But this morning I want to talk about understanding the complete man in Christ. And you've heard us talk several times about the subject, spirit, soul, and body. Can you say amen with me this morning? We're going to be talking about the differences between spirit, soul, and body. And we're going to be doing that quite often between now and the month of November for a great surprise for everyone in here. In November, we're going to be having another deliverance service. And we're excited about it because we believe God, that like the last time, the Lord just opened up, seemed like the demons were coming out everywhere, and so were the people. Amen. When you start advertising that you're going to have a deliverance service, just because some folk that are born again are skeptics when it concerns this matter, it seems like sometimes they just come out to find out what is going on. And a lot of times when they come out to find out what's going on, they end up getting deliverance. Can you say amen with me this morning? Understanding the complete man in Christ, I want you to read with me as we're going to begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. How many of you are having fun so far? Can you slip your hand up and say praise the Lord? Praise Hallelujah. Lord. How many of you are happy this morning? Three-fourths of you need to notify your face. Amen. Praise God. All right. Look at this. He starts off, the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired by the Holy Ghost in the completed canon of Scriptures, starts off, the very first word is a conjunction, and if, but, and or, will get you very far. You remember that? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? And the very God of peace, read it with me, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Looks like some kind of chicken brand or something up there, those holy chickens, W-H-O-L-L-Y, I remember buying those in the store. But, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, when you look at me or I look at you, I see how many people? Not three, but I only see one. But man is what I call a tripartisan being. I guess we could say partisan if it was politics, huh? But man is a tripart being. When you see your whole spirit and soul and body, notice the word and is from the Greek word kai. And it means the same as spirit and soul and body cannot be separated. And they won't be separated until the time that we pass from this earth. But when we look at the Apostle Paul, he's talking about man being in three parts, even though we only see one called the body. The spirit man is the dimension of man. Could you say amen? Say amen with me or say oh me, as Brother Hagin used to say years ago. We're going to have fun in here this morning. Matter of fact, as Chevy Chase said, we're going to have so much fun in here this morning, we're going to have plastic surgery to wipe the smiles off our faces. Can you say amen? Praise God. We can have fun in the Lord, can't we? The spirit of man is the dimension of man, which deals with the spiritual realm. Can you say amen with me? The part of man that knows God. Now, the spirit of man that's not born again does not know God. But when God begins to deal with man, he does not deal with his soul and with his body, because God is a spirit. We have been created in the likeness and the image of God. So God is a spirit, and because God is a spirit, so are we. And God deals with our spirit. Can you say amen? Secondly, we have what is known as the soulish part of man, or the soulish realm. That is the dimension of man which deals with the mental realm. When you study psychology, you hear the word psyche a lot, because you're dealing not with a psyche or a medium, but you're dealing with the psyche or the mentality of man, the mind of man. What makes up the mind of man? What is the dimensions of the mind and so forth? So the soulish part of man is the dimension of man which deals with the mental realm. When I was getting my psychology degree way back in the early 80s, that tells you basically about how old I am. And I still yet have my mental faculties, amen, that are working today. But when I was studying for my psychology degree, we would go off to mental hospitals, like state hospitals, and we would study the different behavioral problems that man has. It would take me all day to explain all of those to you, but we would study about the psyche of man. Why does man react the way that man reacts? Normally because of the unsaved soulish realm. Can you say amen? Man's mind, will, emotions, and intellect are the parts that compose the soulish realm. Can you say amen? And when we go through deliverance, we have a deliverance service and we go through deliverance, we're not really dealing with the saved part of man, the spirit, because the devil cannot touch that. But it's the unsaved part of man, the soulish realm and the body, that is not yet saved, but will be saved at the resurrection of our bodies. We will have new glorified bodies and will not have to worry about decay and disease any longer. Can you say amen? So when we're dealing with deliverance, we're dealing with the unpart or the part of man that's unsaved called the soulish realm, where demons can enter in through an open sin door. And once, and I've taught this for years in deliverance seminars and mass deliverance services, that once there's an open sin door, the enemy can get into a Christian soulish realm at any time. And that's why you see a lot of people that are born again that have tremendous problems or tremendous bad habits that they cannot stop or quit. Because if the soulish part of man was really saved, your mind, your will, and emotions, your mind would never think a bad thought if it was saved. Your will would never make a wrong choice if it was saved. And you would never be upset about anything in your emotions if it were saved. Could you say amen? So it's that part of man that's not saved, but as the word is being applied, is becoming saved every day that we apply the word. We can live above sin. Did you know that? Some people think that because we were sinners saved by grace. I hate that. Because if we were sinners saved by grace, I get up every day looking forward to sinning. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's not a sinner saved by grace. He's a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. And then thirdly, we deal with the body. What you see standing here, the body will decay. This morning I get up and looked in the mirror and I'm like, wow, you've put on 30 years and maybe 30 more pounds. But you look in that mirror and every day you can find fault with the body, can't you? Some people find more fault than others do. But the Lord wants us to get to the place in our lives that we are not body ruled or soul ruled, but we are spirit ruled. Our born-again spirit will rule the body and the soul. We need to bring the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and the body under subjection to what this born-again spirit man tells it to do. Could you say amen? That's why it's so important to read and to apply the Word of God every day of our lives. We have to learn all over again, so to speak. We have to tell our bodies what they're going to do, especially when we're fasting. You're fasting and you're like going down the road and you see the sign. The McDonald's now is not just a regular sign, but it's neon. It just stands out, man. I mean, it's like, you know, you're praising the Lord because you found a couple extra fries in the bottom of the bag and you haven't even got it yet. Can you say amen? Praise God. So, you know, you're excited about that because you know that your body is getting ready to be satisfied. And some of our bodies are more satisfied than others. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. And I'll just come, you know. But the body is the dimension that we want to place last, behind the soul and especially behind the spirit. The body is the dimension of man which deals with the physical realm and the house in which we live in. Can you say amen? So when Paul first talked in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he talked about three things again: spirit, soul, and what else? Body. Now, let me give you some notes that I wrote down this past week. We need to think of ourselves and speak to ourselves over and over again that we are a spirit. Now, what does that mean? You mean, what do you want me to do? You mean you want me to speak over my soul and over my body? Absolutely. Because you're born again, man, if it is first and foremost in your life, there's no way that the soulish part of man, the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and the body can tell your spirit man that they have victory over him or her, whichever you prefer to call the inward inner man. Because the born again spirit cannot be touched by Satan and cannot be groomed by him or God. You must be the one that equips and trains and causes the born-again spirit to grow. Can you say amen? Most of us know how to handle a fork, a spoon, and a knife. Can you say amen? Some more than others. Some have told me, my buddy from years ago, my old hunting buddy, says, you have a master's degree with a fork. You really know how to use it. And I said, amen, brother, especially when we get that wild game and we bring it out of the woods and it's fresh and, you know, you want to clean it up and you want to eat it right away and make some kind of, you know, gravy to go along with it. We're excited about that. But what God wants us to really do this morning is to begin to train our born-again spirit. And I say that a second time because I can't emphasize it enough, that our spirit man should be first and foremost in our heart and life. So when I put down here in my notes that we need to think of ourselves, we need to think of ourselves and speak over ourselves over and over again that we are a spirit being, which, by the way, is the real you. And we possess a soul and we live in a body. Man's spirit is that part of him that knows God. We're talking about the born-again person. When a person repeats a prayer, that prayer does not save them. A lot of people say, well, repeat this prayer after me and you'll be saved. Prayer doesn't save you. It's words that justify you or condemn you. So we like to say it this way. If you do pray that prayer, and if you're leading someone in what is called the sinner's prayer, make sure that you see a repentant heart before they mouth any words. Because anybody can come to an altar, mouth some words, walk away from the altar, and not be born again. Repentance for the remission of sin. Matter of fact, the original plan of salvation is not in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That's not the original plan of salvation. That's written to Christians. Did you know that? That's written to the church at Rome. The original plan of salvation was way back in Acts 2:38. Repent every one of you, is how the original Greek reads, for the remission of sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. It's to your children and to all that be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's us. So when we repent, we will mouth the words and we will do something. We will go and tell someone that we just gave our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Romans 10:10. For with the mouth, confession is what? Made unto salvation. And with the heart or the spirit of man, man believes unto righteousness. Can you say amen with me this morning? So man's spirit is that part of him that knows God when he becomes born again. He is in the same class with God when he becomes born again because God is a spirit and God made man to fellowship with him. Matter of fact, that what the first Adam could not do, the last Adam did. The first Adam, of course, fell by sin. Eve was deceived, but Adam sinned. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says, King James Version. Eve was deceived, but it was the man that sinned. He took of the forbidden fruit knowing not to do it. She was deceived, being the weaker vessel. But yet man sinned and came short of the glory of God. Now their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. Can you say amen with me? So what the first Adam could not do, Jesus, not the second Adam, but the last Adam. There's no such thing in the Word of God as the second Adam. Look it up. Jesus was the last Adam. There is no second, third, and fourth. Can you say amen? There was the last Adam because what Jesus did in his finished work was restore us back spirit, soul, and body before the fall in the garden the way it was always supposed to be. That's why we can have healing for our bodies now. Everybody say with me, I'm healed now. Sickness and disease does not belong in my body. Neither does all kinds of torment belong in my mind. Now, I may be tormented now, but when I realize the fact that Jesus is my deliverer, I can be set free from all demonic bondage. Give God a hand of praise in the house of God for that. We're in God's kingdom. There's an animal kingdom. Now, if I go home today, little Walker, my best little buddy that goes everywhere with me in the truck and eats half of the food that I get anywhere. Can you say amen? Well, maybe not. I don't know. But that little guy, I can love on him and he can lick on my hand. And when I get to sweating, he'll climb up on here and start licking all the sweat off because he likes that salty taste. But that doesn't mean Walker and I are having fellowship. It means he's taking advantage of the sweat on my body. But we're not having fellowship. And say, praise the Lord, go ahead and lick. You've never heard of that before, have you? But what I'm trying to say is that there is an animal kingdom. And man and God are not in that animal kingdom. Man and God are in God's kingdom. Can you say amen with me today? Man is not an animal, is he? Man is a spirit being. Matter of fact, John 4:24, we're going to see here in just a few minutes. God is a what? Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A lot of folk like to say God is spirit, but the Bible doesn't say that. It says he is a spirit. And there's many spirits that are in the world. Can you say amen? So in order, since God is not an animal, but God has his own kingdom and is a spirit, we're in the same kingdom with God. And in order to have fellowship with God, man must be in the same category with God, which is a spirit kingdom. Can you say amen with me? Therefore, just as God is a spirit, so is man a spirit. Because we've been created in his image, spirit after his likeness, soulish realm, having the right and the ability to have a mind, to have a will, to make a choice, and emotions to feel with, and an intellect to have, to be above that 70 Forrest Gump level. Can you say amen? Praise God. Therefore, just as God is a spirit, man is a spirit, and it is impossible for us to have fellowship with any other kingdoms except with the spirit kingdom. Because that's where God is. Can you say amen with me again? But we can have fellowship with one another, can't we? Because we've been all created in the image of God. Somebody didn't say, well, I was created in the image of my dog. Or I was created in the image of the fish kingdom underneath of the depths of the sea 2 miles down. We can't say that because that would be a lie. But we know that we have been created in the image and in the likeness of God. Because we are prototypes after Jesus. Jesus was the prototype after God, and we are the prototype after Jesus. Jesus spoke in John 24 that God was a spirit. And again, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot know God or touch him physically. Could you say amen? Now, we can touch him tangibly, and I've touched him before tangibly. I remember when I was pastoring several years ago, East Run Pentecostal Ministries, a church that the Lord allowed me to establish, grew to 123 people in 6 weeks' time because God was moving and God was in it. And I knew that I would pastor it for a period of time and then turn it over as the founder of it, turn it over to someone else. And one day I was getting ready to preach, and I saw, and some people could say, well, the Holy Ghost is inside of you, but God is everywhere present. I saw the Lord leave my body, walk back the aisle on the left-hand side, go over through the vestibule of this old country church, stopped at the right-hand side, and zoomed up and at a tremendous rate of speed and went right through my mouth. And when that happened, I began to prophesy for an hour and a half. And as I began to prophesy, I was prophesying, but I was saying things in tongues, and then I was interpreting what I was saying in tongues. Little did I even know, I thought I knew everybody in there was believers. But in this little packed old country church built in 1895, just as beautiful as it could be, here came a man that had been in that church and I had known for years, come walking up the aisle and say, I have been playing games with God for years and I want to become born again. God did that for that one man. Now God did that because God is a spirit. God wanted to show me as well, for some unknown reason that I've never figured out to this day, why he did that. Left my body, went down that side, came back over and came back in my body, and I began to prophesy. Probably because he wouldn't want me to get a swelled head thinking I was doing it. Could you say amen? Because God is a spirit. God doesn't deal with the mental realm. Can you say praise the Lord with me this morning? We cannot communicate with God mentally or physically. because God is a spirit. That's why the best way to communicate with God is in prayer. Most of the time we start off our prayer in English, and we end up, because we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in the same kind of language that God prays in. I believe that Jesus prayed in that language. It doesn't say a lot about it, but I believe that He did. To be the example to us. The first begotten of the dead. The first born again of the Spirit of God. The first that was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that even John, who ministered to Jesus, was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Could he say amen? But we can reach Him with our spirit, and it is through our spirit again that we come to know God when we are born again. I remember the day that I became born again. Room 302, about 10:13 in the morning, Fairmont General Hospital, visiting my mom's boyfriend. 2 years after my dad had passed, she met this man and began to date him. And this man became born again, and I didn't even know what born again was. I had just got done smoking a joint. I was between classes at Fairmont State. I was high. Getting higher at every moment that was passing by, walked down the steps of Hunt Hot Hall, went down through the valley and up the steps of the other side of the hill into Fairmont General Hospital. A little lady, 75 years old, come walking in the room who had led this man to Christ, and I didn't know that that had happened. She come to do a follow-up visit, and during the follow-up visit, I started to get up off of the bed, and it was as though someone set a 500-pound weight down on top of my lap. And I could not get up. And she began to witness to me. Son, do you know God? Do you believe in God? Well, yeah, I believe in God. Every true-born American believes in God. I have a higher power is what I said. But I had a higher power that was at the end of a joint. And that's how I was communicating with the God of my understanding. Yet she began to tell me and preach to me about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And as she did, the Spirit of God that was in her, through the words that she was saying unto me, began to form and cause life to happen on the inside of me. Because I was dead in my trespasses and sins. But when the Word of God is preached with favor and without respect of persons or favor of men, something begins to take place. It convicts the heart of man. And I said, I don't know God, but I sure would like to know Him. And I prayed with her and couldn't even pray. I was sobbing. And I received the Lord as my Savior. Everything changed in a moment's time. I became born again. I had an Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus experience. The shackles fell off of my eyes. And I saw life. Everything just lit up about three times as brighter as it could. I sobered up real quick. I ran downstairs with a dime in my hand and got on a payphone and called my sister and said, I just got born again. She had been praying for me. My oldest sister had been praying for me. Something takes place on the inside of man. When people don't think that there is a God, there's something on the inside of man called the image of God that we were created in that knows there is a God and that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that He died on the cross for our sins. Can you say amen? If you believe that this morning, give God some praise and glory in the house of God. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. There's not three gods, but there's only one God. Some Trinitarians make it out that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit each have spirit, soul, and body. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Dake's edition tells about that. There's one God. There's not three thrones in heaven. There's only one throne in heaven. When the Bible talks about that Jesus went back and sat down at the right hand of God, it doesn't say that in the original Greek. It says at the right hand of power. Because the right hand of power, God is God. In the Old Testament, He was Jehovah God. He had several compound names. The progression of the perfect name of God in the New Testament that represents Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the three different manifestations of the one God in history, that name is Jesus. And that name is the name that we call on when we become born again. John 1 in verses 1 through 3, the Word declares, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." How many things? Now, if the Word that was within the beginning with God, some people say that's Jesus that was in the beginning with God. Well, you can say that if you want to, but the Scripture said it was the Word that was made flesh. It doesn't say Jesus was made flesh, but that Word that was in the bosom of the Father at the appointed time, Galatians 4 and 4, God sent forth His Son, born of the seed of a woman. When He sent forth His Son, that Son's name was called Jesus. So it was the Word that was made flesh. that dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. Do you know when it says that the Word was made flesh in the original Greek? That Word that was in the bosom of the Father at the appointed time, Father God opened up his mouth and went, he breathed out that Ruach, and that Ruach Word that was in his bosom became flesh down here upon the earth. Because we're only caught up in time and space. He traveled so fast to get inside the Virgin Mary's womb to cause an immaculate conception and a supernatural conception take place. Never was there earthly father's blood to taint the blood. Mary had never known a man. Yet it was the Holy Spirit that determines, the father's blood determines a lot of things in this lifetime. And so the Father's blood that was in the body of Jesus determined who the lineage would come from. He was after the seed of Abraham and after the seed of David. Can you say amen? Praise God. That's why he was called the son of Abraham and the son of David. He was the son of the living God. He was the eloquent orator while he was here. No one could speak like him. He was the captain of 50 in the Old Testament. He was Isaiah's host of bread and host of water. He is the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's all in all in Christian service. Jesus Christ is the same. Yes. Yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change, and there's nothing too hard for him to do. Can you say amen with me today? When God took upon himself human form, he was no less God than when he didn't have a body. Can you say amen? It was God in Christ. Can you say amen? Can you picture this? Here's a spirit being here, and here, pretend like this is a body here. The spirit indwelt the body. So when it says it was God in Christ, it wasn't Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these three different gods over here, that all three were dwelling in this one body. But yet the scripture says that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You cannot separate that, can you? But yet when we're looking at the body of Jesus, we see one person, but we know that he has spirit, soul, and body. We know that he never sinned. His blood was never tainted with sin because he was the Son of Almighty God. It was God, one God in Christ, reconciling the world back unto himself. Can you say amen? So man at physical death leaves his body, yet he is no less man than he was when he had his body. That's why when we leave this body, Ecclesiastes says there will be no great discharge in that day, but the spirit and soul will leave the body at the appointed time of death, and ready or not, here I come. That will be the call. Ready or not, here I come. No, it won't be. He said, you need to get ready, but if you're not ready and I call you, I'm still coming. And he's going to take you out of here. So it pays to stay ready. Can you say amen? We see this in Christ's account of Lazarus and the rich man at death in Luke the 16th chapter and verses 19 through 31. In the Apostle Paul's epistle or letter to the church at Thessalonica, as we read here just a little while ago, we found out the threefold nature, as I'll read that again in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, spirit, soul, and body. You don't have to put it upon the board, but it's spirit, soul, and body. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you really have a revelation, we as Pentecostals sit back and we're quiet about a lot of things. We have so much revelation about almost everything, and we come to church and we're not excited about anything. But we need to get on fire, because the fire of God is on the inside of us. We know that we were a soul. We had spirit, soul, and body before we were saved, but now our spirit has become alive. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened or made us alive to set together with Christ in heavenly places. I'm not the same person I used to be. I don't smoke a dope no more, as that old fella used to say as he came on our radio station years ago. I don't smoke a dope no more, that the old Italian man said. I don't drink the wine no more. I don't cuss the mule no more. He used to say all this kind of stuff, and I said, brother, I don't either. I may be not able to say it like you, but I don't do it either. I don't smoke dope no more. I don't smoke period anymore. I don't drink liquor anymore. I'm serving the living God. I have the new wine that's flowing into my belly, and out of my innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, and there is a vast supply. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you this morning, but this God gospel that I preach and hold in my hand is a lively gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it'll set the captive free. Come on, someone. This threefold man is to be preserved blameless, entire, without blame at the coming of our Lord. Spirit, soul, and body. Well, I'm saved now. I can go back and do what I did before with my body before I got saved. No, you can't. Quit fooling yourself. You're in a nominal dead church. Get out of it. Need to have a church that's so full of the Holy Ghost and fire that you don't have to guess what holiness is. You know what it is before you even show up at the church house. Amen, because you've been taught that. Can you say amen? That's going to be a great day. For when the Lord will come, the whole man, spirit, soul, and body can and will be preserved blameless and entire without lack and wanting nothing. And he says, here I come, and you're going to say, come and get me, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready in my spirit. I'm ready in my soul. I'm ready in my body. And Paul said, inspired by the Holy Ghost, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? If you defile that temple, the Bible said God will destroy you. In other words, God will permit you to destroy your own body through smoking, through drinking, through abusing your body any other way. And I'm just using those as small, typical examples. But we have a new body at the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm excited about that. Amen. Sickness and disease cannot destroy us in that day. It's trying to now. We have to keep reminding ourselves that quit calling it my sickness. Oh, I have my cancer. Did I ever tell you about my cancer? No. When did you pick them up along the road? Hitchhiking somewhere? You know, it's not your cancer. Just say it. Hey, I've been healed from all sickness and disease, so it's no longer mine. It was nailed to the cross in the body of Christ, and now sickness and disease shall not have dominion over me like sin shall not have dominion over me. I say it every day of my life, and I'm going to continue to say it. I'm going to shout until Jesus comes that I'm not sick in my body, that I'm healed because the Word proclaims it. Come on, somebody. We have a new life now, though. Spirit and soul. Can you say amen? As we renew our souls, we have a brand new life in our bodies. Can you say amen? Because we control the body and the soul with the spirit of man. Can you say amen? Come on, somebody. More than one Old Testament prophet prophesied concerning Israel that God would establish a new covenant with the house of Israel. Put the next scripture upon the board, and we're going to talk about the body realm here in just a moment for one more moment. The next scripture, Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, man, but I just feel like running this morning. I feel like shouting this morning. I feel like praising this morning. I need some old-fashioned Pentecostals in there. There's not many, but I'm telling you what. Man, when I was evangelizing, you just had to open up your mouth and talk about the scriptures and preach this way. And I mean, they were running the aisles. They were blowing whistles. They were shouting. They were rolling on the floor and a whole lot more. Come on, somebody. A new heart. What kind of heart? A new heart will I what? Give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. That old stubborn heart. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Now watch 27. Watch this. And I will put my spirit within you. Where? Within you. He's talking about the future. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. When the Spirit of God is on the inside of you and you're yielding to it, and the Word of God you've been reading and you're yielding to it, He's putting His statutes in you where His Spirit's in you, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. I have such a hard time like everyone else. Forget about everyone else. You can live a victorious life yourself. When the trumpet of God sounds, I ain't going to be holding on to Robin's shirt tail. Say, pick this tub of lard up and take me with you. Ain't going to be saying that. I'm going to be saying, get your hands off of me, man. And she's going to be saying, get off of me. I'm going. Because I was living righteous. A new heart. A new spirit. Ezekiel was prophesying, I put this down on my notes, concerning the new birth, when man would become born again. When a man is born again, the spirit, which is the real man, is born again and the old man is gone. Old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. Wow. Every new year, we got resolutions. Shouldn't make no resolutions. Just start quoting the Word of God. Say, I'm going to live according to that. Praise God. And everything God wants for me is going to fall into place anyway. Matthew 6:33. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And we got it. Lord, you haven't given me what I've asked you for. Well, you haven't sought the kingdom first. You sought things first. Seek the kingdom first. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Watch this. The old hard heart is gone. The stony heart has been removed. We are new creatures in Christ, not sinners saved by grace. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore. If you see the word therefore, what's it? What's it there for? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Can you say amen? Praise God. We've talked about the spirit of man. We've talked about the soul of man. Now let's talk just for one moment about the body of man. Can you say amen? That's the one that we all don't want to deal with, is the body. Can you say praise the Lord? Come on, say praise the Lord. I can't hear you. My goodness sakes. Weakest Pentecostal church I've ever been into years ago was shouting, just when you whisper. The weakest Pentecostal church. Because most of those churches, 637 churches over a 12-year period that I preached in all over the eastern seaboard, most of those churches during that move of God was so excited about when you opened up your mouth to say something. My goodness sakes. I remember one pastor one time, he just wanted to get in the way. The whole praise team, they got up and they were praising God 40 minutes before the church service started. And he said, well, gonna have to stop now so we can get started. I'm like, gee, huh? I was about ready to get up and preach. I'm like, well, there's going to be another. So he gets up and talks for 45 minutes and kills everything they did for 40. He was just an old-fashioned, I won't use that word, Lord, guy that didn't want to see the Spirit of God control things. He had to be in control. But when God moves, we get out of the way and let Him have His way. Let's deal with the body realm. Praise, years ago the Lord said, praise elevates us into the presence of God, and worship keeps us there. Now, when you're a praiser, like Sister Robin, she's a praiser, praises God, primes the pump. We come in here and we're not like, as soon as we walk through the door, people are talking, like, man, I can sure feel the presence of God, can't you? People are drinking coffee and drinking water and just talking and whatever else, and that's a good thing. I love that because it shows us what God is about to change. Because when we start praising God, setting the coffee cups down, the water cups down and everything, and start praising God the way y'all praise God, praise elevates us into His presence. When we get into the presence of God and we want to stay and go deeper with Him, that's where worship takes over. And worship keeps us there. And once worship keeps us there, our hearts are being fine-tuned to hear what the Spirit of God is saying in the realm of the Spirit. That's why when you're looking at the person up there and say, I don't know if I want to listen to him or her this morning, you've done missed it. You've missed where God has placed you underneath of the covering, where God has placed you. You're gone someplace else, you're looking for the answer somewhere else, and you come back 2 years later and said, well, I wish I'd have listened to them. Because God placed me there. We may not be the Kenneth Copelands and the whatever Gloria Copelands of the day, but we are the ones that God has placed here with the messages that God wants you to hear. So you can be groomed here so you can go out and be a Kenneth or Gloria Copeland. Can you say amen? Let's deal with the body realm quickly. Now let's look at, first of all, we said man's spirit's the inward part of man. Secondly, we talked about the soulish realm, being the unsaved part of man that needs to become saved. Can you say amen? Thirdly, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:1, if you'll put that up on the board, I don't even know if I gave you the scripture. I guess I did. Praise God. I'm having too much fun to even remember. Paul said, inspired by the Holy Ghost, I what? I beseech you, therefore. Brethren, who? Sinners? No. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Not your souls or your spirit, but your bodies. A what? Living sacrifice. A what kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. A living sacrifice, comma, holy, comma, acceptable unto God, comma, which is your reasonable service. Did everybody hear that? Years ago, I used to manage a call center. And I'd get on there and I'd train people. I'd said to this one boy from Clarksburg this one time, I said, "Now I want you to listen to me because I'm going to talk real fast." And I got on there and I started talking and I wanted to see if the person that was happened to be a man home from the mines that day. And I said, "Hey, good afternoon. This is blah, 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 comma. I want to let you know, period, that we're going to be doing something great today, exclamation point." And I stopped right there. And the guy's sitting down there that I'm training in another cubicle, and he's looking up at me like, he's saying period, he's saying comma, and he's saying exclamation point. And I said, I pushed the mute button. I said, "Do you think that man heard anything that I said?" "Probably not. He heard somebody fast talking." I said, "That's exactly right. When you talk fast like that, most people don't understand what you're saying or the light of what you're saying it in. And the syntax, which is sentence structure, he has no idea if there was a period at the beginning, if there was an exclamation in the second sentence, or if there was some kind of question mark in the last. He just knew that I said, "Hey, how you doing this afternoon?" You know, exclamation point. "It's good to hear your voice today, comma. I want to know if you would like to give some money today." Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. He didn't hear a thing I said. So I did it again. And the guy said, "What are you calling for?" 7/8 of the people you call on the phone like that, if you're talking real fast, they'll never understand what you're trying to get across to them. So I could probably should go somewhere else and preach because most of you haven't heard a thing I said this morning. Can you say amen? But in all seriousness, when Paul said that we're to present our what? A living sacrifice. We can go that direction too. What's that? Years ago, a friend of mine I went to high school with, you could be standing right in front of him and, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." What did I just say to you? He'd say, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Let's get you a hearing aid." Let's read it together. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, comma, acceptable unto God, comma, which is your reasonable service," period. Who's he talking to? Now watch this. Romans 1:7. Who was Paul talking to? Christians or sinners? He's talking to the church, the brethren. It said brethren, therefore brethren. Sistern. That didn't come out right, did it? Not C-I-S-T-E-R-N, it's S-I-S-T-E-R-N. So brethren and sisters. Romans 1:7. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." Not called to be sinners saved by grace. Called to be new creatures in Christ, which are saints. When you become a new creature in Christ, you're on your way up to becoming a saint. The saints are the ones that don't sin willfully after they've received the knowledge of the truth, because they know there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Now here, the closing scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said, "But I keep under my body." Well, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Watch this. Paul said, "But I keep under my body." Must sleep on it at nighttime or something. "But I keep under my body and bring it." Bring what? My body. "Into subjection. Lest," or for the fear of, "that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, we have to live what we're preaching, don't we? 1 Corinthians 9:14, you'll find it back there a couple scriptures back. Paul was saying that we should do something with our bodies. He said, "I keep under my body." Now watch this, I wrote this down. "I bring it into subjection." Who is I? Who is I? That's right. I, when it says I, keep under subjection. I keep my body. I keep under my body. In other words, if you would literally read that in the Greek with the three words replacing the one, I would keep my body under subjection. That's how it reads in the original Greek. I will keep my body under subjection to my spirit. So I is the man on the inside of you. If the body were the real you, then Paul would have said, I keep myself under. I bring myself into subjection. But he didn't say that. He said, I keep under my body and bring it, my body, into subjection. In other words, my body doesn't rule me. Because I, the real man, the spirit man, keep my body under subjection to the authority that I have in God's word in my born-again spirit, and I tell my body and soul what to do. Now, isn't that the truth? Now, that may not all come out in proper syntax or with periods, exclamations, and question marks and all the same in right places, but it's truth. The difference between spirit, soul, and body, if they're all in their rightful place in the completed man in Christ, you will have arrived at perfection or maturity.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer.